John 11, 1 through 6, and 17 through 26. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? The word of the Lord.
Good morning. Welcome back. Again, I hope you had a good break. Hope you're ready to get started again. It's nice to speak at the beginning of the semester because you don't have any homework yet, right? That doesn't start for a couple more weeks, as far as I remember. No, wait. Maybe that's not how they do it anymore. But no, you already have a lot going on, so I don't doubt that there's lots of things going on in your mind. And so I hope you can set those things aside and let's listen to God's word. I want to encourage you this morning with a promise of God, a promise that God repeats again and again and again and again because we tend to doubt it and forget it. It's the promise of his love. As we read earlier, who can separate us from the love of God? The answer? No one. Nothing can separate us. God says, I love you. That love will never change. That's a promise that he makes to all who trust in him. Over the years, I've had lots of good conversations with a good friend of mine, an older friend, and to my sorrow is a friend who is lost in this world. He's gone through considerable trials and struggles and experienced tragedies and had broken relationships and lost loved ones. And we've talked about all kinds of things related to life and God. And in one sense, he really enjoys conversation about God. But he always raises all kinds of objections to the God of the Bible. And he says that the very biggest reason why he doesn't believe in the God of the Bible is because there's so much suffering in the world. And he's not just talking about his own suffering, but he knows so many people who suffer such hard things in life. And if God is good and loving, then why is there so much hard stuff? Why is there so much bad, so much heartache in the world? Well, he's putting his finger on perhaps the most obvious, maybe the most difficult and confusing reality about God. If God is good and loving, then why is there so much pain in the world and so much pain in my own life? Well, the Bible very clearly teaches us that God is in control of all the circumstances of life. In Isaiah 45:7, he says, I bring prosperity and blessing, and I create disaster. I, the Lord, do these things. So God's in control. And at the very same time, as we read, God fiercely loves his people with a perfect, unchanging love. Well, at some point throughout your life, you have to ask the question, well, if God loves me, then why is my life filled with so many hard things? Or why don't I have what I so desperately long for? I mean, if your best friend were in trouble and you could fix it, you had the thing that would relieve them, relieve their struggle, you would go running and you would do something about it because you love them and they need you. But here, God has the power to do anything and everything, and we pray and pray and pray and we plead and we plead. And oftentimes, instead of an immediate response, it feels like God remains distant. And that's hard for us to make sense of. When that happens, you may wonder, does God actually love me, or does he just say it? This doesn't feel loving. And I get that. I felt that. Lots of people question the love of God because of the pain they endure. Well, this is the exact dilemma that Mary and Martha face in this story, in John 11. Three separate times in this story, it's actually stated that Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. But Lazarus dies, and three different people essentially say to Jesus, "You could have prevented this, but you didn't. You say that you love us, but you weren't here when we needed you the most, and that doesn't make sense." And so throughout this story, Jesus answers this dilemma. He essentially says this, "I do love you. And I've done it this way so that you would see me." And that's way better than a long life or health or happiness in this world. I've done it this way so that you would see me. John Piper says it this way: "Do not measure the love of God for you by health and wealth and happiness that you enjoy, but rather measure God's love for you by how much of himself he shows you." End quote. To know and to see Jesus is the goal of his love, and oftentimes the best way to reveal himself is through suffering and oftentimes delay. So if you trust in Jesus, you can stake your life on this promise that he loves you, and his love will never change, and he will always, every single time, do what's best for you in order to reveal himself to you. So when you suffer and God delays, trust in his love. As we jump into the story here, we find that Jesus is with his disciples. He's about 50 miles away, maybe from Jerusalem, in a place called Perea. While he was there in Perea, Lazarus, his friend, becomes ill. Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sister, sent word to Jesus, "Lord, Lazarus, whom you love, is ill," meaning, "Come quickly. We need you." And when Jesus heard this, he said to his disciples in verse 4, "This illness does not lead to death. It's for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." So there's his purpose. He's going to use the circumstance to reveal himself, who he really is. And then the next two verses are very intriguing and really somewhat confusing. Verse 5 and then verse 6, it says, verse 5, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus," confirming his love. And then verse 6, "So," or literally, "therefore, when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was." It's important for us to catch the simple logic of these two verses. This is what it says: Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and therefore, meaning because he loved them so much, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. He delayed because he loved them so much. That is strange. I mean, as I said earlier, if you love someone and they need you, you come running. That's how we function. But instead, very clearly, it says in these verses, he stayed away because he loved them. Jesus is indicating here that it's more loving to send Lazarus through death, more loving to send Mary and Martha through the deepest grief and heartache than it is to avoid it. And that doesn't make sense to us. How can this be more loving? Well, because, as it says back in verse 4, through this death and grief, he will show them who he really is. And that is the most loving thing he can do. Think about this. The message of the gospel, as it's laid out for us, particularly in John 3:16, says that if you believe in Jesus, do not perish, but have eternal life. In John 17, verse 3, Jesus clarifies what he means by this term, eternal life. He says, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent." Eternal life, which is the essential promise of the gospel, which is what we all long for as followers of Jesus, is that we would know God and his Son, Jesus Christ. That's eternal life. That's the greatest, most loving gift that exists in the world. And later in John 14, verse 21, Jesus says it this way, "He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." What this means is that if Jesus loves you, it doesn't mean that he will do whatever you demand of him. It doesn't mean that he'll come running at your every beck and call. It doesn't mean that he'll give you always health and happiness and wealth and prosperity. What it does mean is that if he loves you, he'll reveal himself to you. And that's exactly what he's doing for Mary and Martha. He loved them, and therefore he delayed, because through death and grief and suffering, he's going to reveal himself, which is far greater. You know, all of us have had circumstances that we've pleaded with God to change. And we pray and we pray and we pray, and God doesn't come running. And it makes us wonder if he actually loves us. Does he even care? I mean, I've asked this question myself. And what you and I need to understand and realize is that oftentimes God delays precisely because he loves you. And he wants to give you the greater blessing of revealing himself to you. So Jesus delays. Because of his love, he stays where he is 2 more days. Over those days, Lazarus dies. Jesus tells his disciples that it's time. He even says to his disciples in verse 15 that Lazarus is dead, and for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there, so that you may believe. He travels back towards Jerusalem. Lazarus and Mary and Martha, they lived in the town of Bethany, which was just a couple miles outside of Jerusalem. Probably took 3, 4, 5 days maybe to get there. By the time that Jesus arrives in Bethany, Lazarus has already been dead for 4 days. Lots of people from Jerusalem have gathered around to mourn with Mary and Martha. And as Jesus approached Bethany, he's met by 3 different people. And each time, these people question his love. First one to meet him is Martha, Lazarus' sister. Martha heard that Jesus was coming, so she went running, and she ran to meet him. She came to him outside the town and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." It doesn't make sense. You say you love us, I know you love us, but you weren't here when we needed you. Why? She says in the very next phrase that she still believes that Jesus can do all things, but there's obvious confusion in her mind. She knows Jesus loves her, but his actions don't seem consistent with that love, by her interpretation. The second one to meet her, or to meet Jesus, was Mary, Martha's sister. Jesus was still outside the town of Bethany. When she came to him, it says in verse 32 that she fell at his feet saying, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." Same words as her sister. Same confusion of in her mind, same questioning of his love. If you love us, then why didn't you come? The third group of people to meet him was the crowd that had gathered to mourn the death of Lazarus. And it doesn't appear that they engaged Jesus directly the way Mary and Martha did, but in verse 35 and following, as Jesus made his way to the tomb, they said among themselves, "See how he loved them." But couldn't he who opened the eyes of a blind man have also kept this man from dying? Even they were wondering, he clearly loves them, but why wasn't he there when they needed him? How often do you wrestle with this question, this confusion, this doubt in your mind? God, you have the power to do anything and everything, and yet you don't. You could have stopped this tragedy, but you didn't. You could take this pain away, but you don't. You know the heaviness that I wrestle with in my heart and soul. You know my loneliness. You know the agony that I live with every day. And yet you delay. That doesn't feel loving. How often have you doubted God's decision-making and his timing and his love? Well, the reason he delays is precisely because of his love. Because through your struggle, he's going to reveal himself in a greater way. The Son of God will be glorified through it. And that is the most loving thing he could do for you. When he delays, you trust in his love. So Jesus delays because he loves them. But his delay is the very reason, Mary and Martha and the crowd question his love. So how does Jesus respond now to the questioning of his love? I want to point out three simple things that he does. These three things that assure us of his love. First, he responds with a glorious truth. A truth that in itself should dissolve all our fear and confirm his love for us. When Martha came to him in verse 21, she said, "If you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said, "I know he'll rise on the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. I am the resurrection." This is the glorious truth, but what does that mean? To Martha, it might not be as easy to understand as it is for us, because within a month of this event, Jesus would be hanging on a cross, he'd be crucified. And as he hung on the cross, there'd be a clash of the titans of the universe. And Jesus would decisively defeat Satan and sin and death. And after 3 days in the grave, he would unquestionably prove his victory through his resurrection from the dead. And so by saying, "I am the resurrection," what he means is that I have defeated your greatest enemies, including death itself. And so if you trust in me, you don't have to worry about dying, because even though you die, you'll live. And you know what that means? That means that I love you way more than you understand. And I've done way more for you than you understand. Through the death of Lazarus, Martha began to realize that her true happiness was not dependent upon her earthly circumstances, but it was rather dependent upon knowing Jesus and trusting in him as her resurrection. And so I simply ask you what Jesus asked her: do you believe this? The second way that Jesus responds to the questioning of his love was strong emotion. And we don't have time to go into depth about why he was so emotional here, but three different times it says that Jesus was deeply moved, or he grieved, or he wept. What's clear here is that his heart is with them in the midst of their sorrow, confirming his love. When your heart breaks, God, in a sense, grieves with you. His heart is with you. He doesn't enjoy to watch you squirm or suffer, but he weeps with you as Jesus wept. And then the last thing, jaw-dropping power. Jesus went to the grave, the stone was rolled back, and even though the smell of rotting flesh would have been overwhelming, he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And that dead man sat up, stood up, and walked out. Jaw-dropping power. an incredible display of the power that proves that what he said to Martha is true. I am the resurrection and the life. I've defeated Satan and sin and death, and if you trust in me, you have nothing to fear. This, of course, was a small miracle in some ways, revealed to Mary and Martha in the crowd to show who he really is, the Son of God who has the power over death. But it's just a small taste of the great miracle that's going to happen in the future when we'll all be resurrected. And all those who trust in Jesus will be raised in glory, and Satan, sin, and death will be forever eradicated, and that awful curse that brings so much pain to our lives will be gone. There'll be no more sorrow, and we'll see the Lord as he truly is. And in that moment, we'll see clearly that all the struggle that we endured, all the times that God delayed, were inspired by his love to prepare us to see his glory. A glorious truth, a strong emotion, and jaw-dropping power. All three of these confirm his love. Through death and grief, Jesus reveals himself as he truly is. Do you tend to doubt the love of God when he delays? When he remains distant? Or maybe, like my friend, you too refuse to believe in a God who allows such pain into our lives. Well, this passage makes it clear. God uses the sufferings of this life to reveal to us his glory, and that's the best and most loving thing he could do. When God delays, trust in his love. Some years ago, a friend of mine sent me a song, and if you haven't listened to this song, I encourage you to look it up and listen to it. It's a song by Laura Story, and it's called Blessings, and this is what she says. We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray that your mighty hand would ease our suffering. And all the while, you hear each spoken need. Yet your love is way too much to give us lesser things. Because what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? We cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness. We doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. What if the trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, are your mercies in disguise? When God delays, trust in his love. It's his mercy in disguise. He delays in order to give you something greater. Jesus is our resurrection and our life, which means that he loves you far more than you can understand. When he delays, it's so you see his glory all the more. And that's the most loving gift he could give to anyone. So when he delays, trust in the promise of his love. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you that at times you delay and you cause us to linger in our affliction and pain. And we state to you now that we gladly linger if that means that we'll see your glory, just as you promise. When you delay, help us to have faith in your unending love and let us find comfort in your great promises. It's in Jesus that we put all our hope, who is our resurrection and the life. Amen.